This is the Top 25 Rundown. And here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is August 2nd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. We are also on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Visit us on the sportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1 and check out our app, the Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Great greetings and salutations. My name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. And we are joined sooner than normal by Mr. Bob Alves. How are we doing, sir?
How are you?
Well, other than my computer finally working, I guess it decided it wanted to take a longer vacation than I took. So, you know what? I'm thankful to be on. We got some good stuff to talk about tonight. And one thing I want to get to, I forgot to get to last week. I will start off the show with it. Bronny James.
Yep.
How he had cardiac arrest. I mean, it's a situation we don't like, but we're seeing it happen more than before. And it's a shame because this is supposed to be his big year, his one and done year. The question is when he's going to be able to get on the field or on the court and see what happens.
Well, A, I'm glad his health is okay, first off and foremost. I mean, you know,
exactly.
That's the big thing. You know, at this point, honestly, I mean, a scary situation could have been a lot worse. So, honestly, for me, I just hope his health is okay.
I could agree with that. And I mean, that's true. I mean, an 18-year-old Colombian soccer player, she went down this last week as well while she was practicing. So, I mean, it's a shame that that's something we have to worry about now, just for watching certain athletes, because we want to try to focus on the games. Sure, there are going to be certain storylines, but like you said, the health is the most important. And so when we're watching people that are struggling with their health, just even before that, it's kind of scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else can be said except thankfully he's okay. Hopefully he makes a full recovery. You know, and the thing about it is, and I'm not saying cardiac arrest is not a big deal, but the way medicine is right now, in the way, you know, everything is right now, I think it bears a better recovery than it did, you know, in the 50s and 60s. So I hope Bronny will be okay. Obviously, there could be some changes he needs to do on his end, but, you know, definitely want him to be okay physically before you worry about anything on the court.
Oh, no, I understand because J.J. Watt had the cardioversion last year before he retired.
Yep.
I had that happen to me. And it's not a whole lot of fun.
No.
So I was glad to get around that. But still, it's frustrating.
Yep.
Now, let's get on to more entertaining situation right now. How about that?
I'm all for it, please.
All right. So we got Northwestern, which, yes, I'm still worried about them. That was we're still seeing stuff come out of the woodwork. Actually, today, did you see what happened with Iowa and Iowa State?
I did not.
Well, they have 7 players that are involved in the gambling sting, including one of them is supposedly the Iowa State starting quarterback this year.
Right.
Okay. So well, that's not looking too good.
Yeah, I did see where LSU kind of wanted to be the torchbearer for, you know, preventing against the gambling and everything like that. And, you know, my thing about that is if you're going to be a torchbearer in that case, then you better be beyond reproach. So, yeah, you definitely hope that everybody gets this thing cleared up, you know. And unfortunately, as we talk about the NIL a lot, I mean, gambling's not really an NIL issue. I mean, I'm hard on the NIL more than just as much as anybody, but gambling's not really on that NIL issue. So you just hope that the programs can maintain the, I don't want to say institutional integrity, but you know, you definitely want them to be able to get this fixed sooner than later. Everybody that is stepping into athletics needs to know, hey, these are dangers and these are pitfalls, and we gotta be on our toes.
Well, I mean, that's why when you're looking at the people that are on here, you've got 7 current or former athletes, which according to ESPN, ex Hawkeyes basketball player Avon Ulis and Cyclones quarterback Hunter Decker is one of the highest profiles. You also have kicker Aaron Bloom, Iowa baseball player Gary Christensen, ISU wrestler Pinero Johnson, ISU football player Dodge Saucer, and former football player Ioma Mizuruki, who was drafted by the Broncos, and then he got suspended indefinitely by the NFL because he bet on games during his rookie season. Now, it's showing that Ulis, who went to Nebraska, he transferred to Nebraska right afterward. He was under Iowa's legal gambling age of 21 when he used his phone to make 1,850 wagers totaling over $34,800 with at least one Iowa sporting event and over 430 plays on NCAA basketball and football games, as Quinn said. Wes Christensen, who appeared in 11 games for the Hawkeyes last year, he used his phone to make 559 wagers, totaling $2,400 to the DraftKings Sportsbook from last November to February, with 23 placed on Iowa sporting events. And the account he used was under his mother's name.
And I think a lot of people are probably doing that, using a friend or using, you know, somebody else's name. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, are just not getting caught.
I'd agree with that. There's no doubt the thing is, it's getting embarrassed. And just with how that is, not good. Although, do you see that the NCAA, they announced it's crafting detailed rules for name, image, and likeness compensation, and all athletes soon will be eligible for injury insurance after they leave school?
The NIL is a monster in itself, I think. And how you fix that and whatnot, at this point, I'm running out of ideas.
I mean, let me read this article real quick. It's not very long, so that way you can hear what they're trying to say they're going to try to do, okay? This is off of ESPN.com. I already read you the first paragraph of it. The NCAA Division I Board of Directors directed the Division I Council to deliver a proposal in October to regulate the way college athletes can make money off their fame. The NCAA lifted its ban on NIL compensation in 2020, operating with an interim policy that broadly bans pay-for-play and recruiting inducements. Myriad state laws, meanwhile, have been setting the rules for NIL. Sports leaders have been lobbying federal lawmakers for help. NCAA President Troy Baker said in June the organization needed to work on its own solution as a plan B. Back when Baker's NIL wish list, the board asked the council to present the rules that would, 1, create a registration process for agents and financial advisors who wish to represent college athletes and booster-funded NIL collectives. 2, develop a standardized contract for NIL deals. 3, establish disclosure requirements for athletes and collectives or companies that provide NIL compensation. we have heard loud and clear that student athletes are not always certain about what to look for in NIL contracts. How we help to establish clear rules that help student athletes navigate these deals to better and more safely capitalize on their NIL potential. Florida Associate Director Linda Teeler said in a statement. Teeler is the chair of the D1 Council and NIL Working Group. Earlier in the day, the NCAA Board of Governors announced that beginning this year, all college athletes will have access to health insurance to cover medical treatment for injuries sustained in college for 2 years after their eligibility expires. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It makes me think the words too little too late.
Makes me think the words lip service.
Well, yeah, that too. Definitely lip service, but we're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but they've already screwed this up bad enough to where now they're like, oh, we messed this up. Now we need help. And it's dumb. Because even though people weren't happy with how the NCAA was at times, or how the NIL was before, now... All right, Bob, I'm going to give you a big comparison, okay? Like, really big. This reminds me... Although this is dangerous, this kind of reminds me of Pearl Harbor. With the restrictions that they had before, the NIL was the bare minimum, other than when you see boosters getting in trouble for giving players money. But since they opened this up in 2021, they basically, it's like the Japanese emperor said after Pearl Harbor, I fear that we've awoken the sleeping giants.
Right.
That's how it feels right now with how the NIL is and just how it's been impacting everybody.
I think the big thing is the NCAA wants to throw that out there just in case somebody gets suspended or whatnot for the NIL. And, you know, then almost the NCAA can say, I don't know if I told you so, but the NCAA can say, hey, we spelled it out right here. Now, did we have no rules at first and then we came back to put in rules? That's not the point. They said this, this, this. So if you break those rules, the NCAA can say, we told you right here.
Yeah. Well, that and I see today Nebraska defensive back Miles Farmer entered the transfer portal amid suspension. He decided to enter the portal today after Coach Merrill suspended him for the start of preseason practice. He was the second leading tackler and expected to be the anchor of the secondary. He didn't disclose the reason for the suspension other than it had to do with the failure to adhere to team standards. But this isn't his first suspension. He got suspended against the game in Michigan last November because of suspicion of drunken driving. I mean, I saw that one of the Northwestern linebackers transferred to Ohio State, so we're still seeing the portal active, even though this is supposedly the time where it's supposed to be passed. So.
You know my feelings on the transfer portal, too. So.
Yep. So we'll skip those feelings this time. Did you hear the rumors and what's happened since last Wednesday in regards to the Pac-12 really screwing the pooch and the teams that are looking at leaving the Pac-12 and seeing what could happen?
Yeah, we've got complete anarchy now because, I mean, I'm reading things about there are certain schools that want out of the ACC. So, yeah. We've reached the point to where we have anarchy, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, that's why, because I've heard rumors about Florida State and Clemson leaving the ACC. Florida State, though, they're going to have the biggest issue because they have to pay the $120 million exit fee. Plus, they would have to get a court order because with how the ACC is, Their next contract extension for them is in 2036. Right. And so until then, they would be paying. Let me see how they put it. Basically, they would only get about $30 million a year, which doesn't, which sounds like a lot, but for some of the different sports, it's different. But to get out of the league, Florida State would have to pay $120 million exit fee and go to court to challenge the existing grant of rights that gives ACC media rights for its member schools through the length of the contract. And right now, their contract with ESPN goes to 2036. So that's going to be the biggest thing that they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, and I don't know how attractive Florida State is to some places because, you know, with Miami, you're getting the Miami media market. I mean, with North Carolina, I don't know why people want North Carolina, to be honest with you, in terms of I don't know what market you're getting. I mean, because the Triad, I can't imagine, is, you know, a media market that people just salivate over. But then again, neither is Tallahassee. So, you know, I mean, I would think that after, if it were me, I would think just looking at the ACC, and I'm going off the top of my brain, Miami's attractive because of the Miami media market. Georgia Tech's attractive because you're into Atlanta at that point. I mean, to me, North Carolina is probably one of the most least attractive places if you're just looking at that type of stuff.
Well, then they talked about Virginia also being a potential one that could leave as well. But the thing is, the ACC recently changed its revenue distribution model to reward success on the field in football and basketball. And so what Florida State's trying to do is change the model to reward programs that have generally higher television revenue and marketability, where Florida State, they think they have an advantage for that, which in some ways, can't argue with them just because, I mean, their brand at times has been pretty big.
It's yeah, not as the last big time as it was. Pretty big. I mean, you know, when they had Famous Jameis quarterbacking them, they were hot. But then if you want to look at sustained success from the Seminoles, you got to go back to when I was a team. I mean, lately it hasn't been sustained. And, you know, I mean, to me, like I said, based on, because I don't think people in college necessarily care if you win or lose as much. I mean, they do. But is that stadium full? How much do they bring to the table with TV? Those type of things are the big things. I think winning is secondary in my eyes.
Okay. Well, right now you're talking about football alone. Basketball, don't forget, they've been – last year wasn't their best year, but with Leonard Hamilton, they've been contenders for the ACC the past few years. Because what you were just talking about before was only you were just focusing on football, which, granted, football is a cash cow for most sports, but it's not the only sport that they would try to use as part of their marketability.
But you still got, for basketball, you still got to fill arenas. Or, I mean, you know, and I don't think Florida State's ever had, you know, great attendance, even when they've been good. So, I mean, from that point, I mean, I don't know what Florida State. You know, I don't know how much winning, bringing winning comes to the table. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it goes over attendance for whatever sport. I don't think it goes over media attention for whatever sport. I think winning is probably the third thing, maybe, because you got to think, too. You know, if I'm in the Big Ten, let's say, why do I want to bring in Florida State if they can knock me out of a tournament spot? Or whatever. Now, the conference is going to want to bring them in because the conference just wants teams. And I'm going to play devil's advocate. Well, Florida State's not knocking somebody out there, adding two. But if you take a bubble team, and I have no idea who it would be because it's not going to be, I don't think, anytime soon. It's not going to be this year. So if I'm a bubble team, I mean, like, why do I want Florida State to come in? Because they could knock me off the bubble and then I'm not getting in the tournament. But the conference, I think, looks at it as, well, we got eight teams in. We're going to get money.
True. And I mean, that's why I think Florida State's banking on how they should do better this year. But the thing is, that and also just how a lot of athletes, some of the fast athletes, still come out of Florida. I think that's the other thing they're banking on. But it's more just for the conferences, how they're talking about it. Because, I mean, for the Big Ten, today they talked about how they were initiating conversations with Washington, California, Stanford, and Oregon.
Expanding makes sense. I'm not saying expanding doesn't make sense, but, you know, if you're a conference, if you're an existing conference, who do you want, Florida State or Miami?
You probably would go for Miami more than Florida State, but 100%. There was a time where that wasn't the case.
But we're playing, the time is, in the words of John Cena, the time is now. I mean, you know, so like, I think, and you bring up a good point, like, you know, if I'm a Big Ten school and I can expand into a state, then I might be able to get that state's recruits to not only necessarily play at said school, but if it's a Big Ten school, what if I can get a kid from Florida to go to Rutgers or go to Nebraska? Or go to Indiana or you know, go to Wisconsin, where they might have not considered that place before. But now that I've expanded into it, you know, it's a conference game, they might look at it differently. So with that being said, I can either look at South Beach, which is a different world in its own from what I hear, or I can look at upstate Florida, Tallahassee, where, you know, I mean, yeah, it's Florida, no doubt. But I mean, you know, it ain't South Beach. I mean, you know, like that, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, more people, do they want to go to Miami or Florida State? Now, I know you can look back in the days of Florida State because they had people like Deion Sanders, you know, and so on and so forth. I could look more, but
Miami. Charlie Ward, Peter Ward,
Ray Lewis,
Warwick Dunn,
they're at Miami. So, you know what I mean? And I get it. They were in different conferences at that point, but I mean, there's no documentary, to my knowledge, on 30 for 30 about Florida State. There's a U and a U part two about Miami. So, again, I'm looking at Miami as a team I'd want because I think they offer me more. I don't know what the word is. They offer me more, I think, than a Florida State does.
Okay. Well, I mean, when I'm looking at this Big Ten conference, they're also looking at Virginia and North Carolina because they're both covered by SC and Big Ten because they offer new markets, big cities, and fertile recruiting grounds. But here's the reason why they're interested in the Big Ten. Big Ten schools, for their shares, they're projected an annual average value of more than $60 million per year in just television money. Just television money.
What city are you getting with UVA and UNC?
Well, in Virginia, you get UV at the pipeline to 757 area where some of the best athletes in Virginia.
But what does that help? I mean, that's helping. That's not helping your market size. I mean, I think they're probably looking at you get DC, but I can argue you got Maryland for that. You know, so like, I mean, I think with UVA, I think it, the fact that it's and this is probably where you actually you brought up a good point when you talked about success of other sports. I mean, Virginia is a name on the basketball circuit. Virginia
and baseball.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be honest. I think more people at this level are going to care. First and foremost, everybody cares about football, whether we agree or not. Football is the cash cow. Second is basketball. Everything else is an Olympic sport, and I don't think that's moving the needle. And if we get said school, and they're good at women's basketball, baseball, whatever else, great. That's just a plus for us. But in terms of that's the reason we want so-and-so, I mean, why don't you want Virginia Tech? I mean, they just went to the Final Four for the women's game. You know, so I don't think that plays as big of a part as it should, because, I mean, if so, people should want Dallas Baptist because they have a really good baseball team that makes the regionals each year. So I don't know. I think part of it is you're trying to pipe into media pipelines, and, you know, but with Virginia and UNC, I look at it as we had success. We're a big, big fish in basketball. We're not a small guppy in football, but we're just on some hard times right now. But in terms of what media market, because we want to get near a big city, I mean, what big city are you getting near is my point. I mean, you know, so that's my point on it.
I mean, we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting just to watch how this unfolds. Although it's kind of funny, they had their chance to have San Diego State to keep everybody in, and well, they screwed that up, so that didn't work out very well.
And, you know, I said about Georgia Tech early, a lot of people will say Atlanta is one of the worst sports towns that there is. I don't know that to be, you know, 100% true, but, I mean, if that's the case, maybe that's why people don't want Georgia Tech. I still am going to roll the dice on the Ramblin' Wreck just because it's in a big market, you know. And, unfortunately, markets and market sizes, to me, are they're in the top three in this whole thing getting done, in my opinion. Because markets, I think, affect TV contracts. TV contracts is where you're making money. I mean, you know, it's like we've talked about time after time. You're going to have a super conference somewhere, and you're probably going to have four or five of them.
I don't know if it's going to be that big, but it is going to be some. I mean, it's going to be challenging and special no matter what. And it's not a question of if, but when.
Well, and, you know, two, here's the other thing to me. Take your smallest ACC school.
Mm-hmm.
Because one school we left out, too, is the SEC, from what I heard, is trying to get Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame is an independent, but they're closer to the ACC than they are anything else right now because they play in the ACC for basketball. You know, they play a decent half of the schedule in football. So for lack of a better term, we'll call Notre Dame ACC in this. The SEC is trying to get them. But, you know, take your smallest ACC school. The name that popped in my mind is Wake Forest. If Wake Forest is left out in the cold, they certainly don't need to be going to, you know, the Colonial or something like that. And in all these power conferences, I kind of feel for that little guy. Because not everybody, I don't think, is going to move. I mean, it's not like the Pac-12 or the Big Ten, because you've talked about it. I mean, they're looking at different schools. But I think at some point,
all righty, well, Bob will be jumping back on with us again. And like he said, at some point, it's just going to basically, when push comes to shove, and see how that goes, I want to say. He's going to come back on to be able to elaborate more on that matter. I was taking a look at the upcoming schedules for this year, and it looks like the biggest week for conference chaos is going to be week 8 of the season, because you have Tennessee at Alabama, Ole Miss at Auburn, Michigan at Michigan State, Penn State at Ohio State, Wisconsin at Illinois, Utah at USC, Clemson at Miami, Texas Tech at BYU, TCU at Kansas State, Texas at Houston. So we're going to see how that goes. Also, I was looking at what the schedules that are tough. Florida has got the toughest schedule overall for the Power Five. Where they start off against Utah and they close at Florida State. They also play Kentucky, South Carolina, LSU, Tennessee. Tennessee's at home. Then they're going to have the world's largest cocktail party in Jacksonville 2 weeks before they play LSU on November 11th. They have six preseason top 25 opponents with four in the top 15. Ole Miss isn't far behind. They are the only SEC team that are playing both Alabama and Georgia on the road. Boston College has the easiest overall Power 5 schedule. They have no non-conference games against Power 5 opponents. Eagles will stay in the Northeast. The only road contest is Army. Four of the first five games are at home, and their toughest ACC matchup is against Florida State. Clemson is against Florida State. They're not even playing Clemson or North Carolina this year. The honorable mention in this category is the two-time defending national champion Georgia. The only game they play away from home against a preseason top 25 team is Tennessee in the next to last week of the season on November 18th. When you're looking at the toughest Power 5 non-conference schedule, it's between Pittsburgh and Louisville. They're giving it to Pittsburgh because they're having to play back-to-back games against Cincinnati and West Virginia, just because how the crowd normally is. It's going to be at Morgantown for the first time. Then they also go to Notre Dame on October 28th, and they face Florida State the week after. When you're looking at a tougher group of five non-conference schedule, you see that Southern Miss, in their second year in the Sun Belt Conference, they play Florida State September 9th, return to face Tulane on the 16th, and then next to last week of the season, they face Mississippi State on November 18th. And then the easiest Power 5 non-conference schedule, we have a repeat winner, Michigan. They earned the honor of playing the nation's cushiest non-conference schedule. The two-time defending Big Ten champion doesn't face a single Power 5 opponent. It's just like last year, marking the first time in 78 years the Wolverines did not play a non-conference game against a current Power 5 member or Notre Dame. Michigan opened the season with three straight home games against East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. It originally had a home-and-home series at UCLA set for 2022 and 2023, but canceled in 2019 to guarantee at least seven home games each season. The only team rivaling Michigan in this category is Georgia, which plays University of Tennessee Martin, Ball State, and UAB at home, and closes the regular season against in-state rival Georgia Tech on the road. The Bulldogs were originally scheduled to play Oklahoma, but the SEC dictated their game be scrapped since the Sooners joined in the league in 2024. So USC, they're going to have the toughest close of the season. For the Trojans, last six games against preseason top 25 teams, which is Notre Dame. Notre Dame, Utah, Cal, Washington, Oregon, and UCLA. So they're going to play 9 straight weeks without a break to end the season. The Wildcats and the Wolverines, they're, according to ESPN, have the cushiest open this season. The Wildcats get the win for that. They go against Ball State, Eastern Kentucky, and Akron in a road game against Vanderbilt. For Kentucky's 5 games in September at home, they have 3 of their last 4 on the road, including Alabama, so we're going to see how that goes. But Wolverines, they had their non-conference bye games against East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and then the Big Ten opener against Rutgers. Coincidentally, Jim Harbaugh is going to be suspended for those first 4 games. So we're going to see how this goes for everybody, depending on the schedules. It is going to be a great year for college sports, no matter what. There are only 7 Power 5 teams that do not have a non-conference game against another Power 5 team this year, or Notre Dame. Boston College, Houston, Michigan, Oklahoma, Oregon State, UCF, and UCLA. Since we are talking about college football, we do have some sad news to say that Oklahoma football coach Brent Venables, his wife Julie's fighting breast cancer, and she just had surgery. So we're going to see how that goes for her, and thoughts and prayers go out to their family and just see how it goes. One thing I did want to talk to Bob about was an article I saw on ESPN that talks about position U, which school is known for what position. And so for the quarterbacks, you have Oklahoma at the top right now. Because talks about Dylan Gabriel. Then Heisman Trophy was Jason Wentz, Sam Bradford, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, along with the run-up Jalen Hurts. You also think about Caleb Williams, who went to USC. But then you have Oklahoma's leading quarterback, U, just depending on how Williams does. Because for the top 10 for quarterback, you have USC at number 2, Oregon at number 3, Alabama at number 4, Ohio State at number 5, Texas at number 6, Louisville at number 7, Florida at number 8, Florida State at number 9, and LSU at number 10. So we're going to see what happens with that. Then we're going on to running back U, and that is the Alabama Crimson Tide is number 1. They had Jahmyr Gibbs, who transfers from Georgia Tech, joined Brian Robinson Jr., Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, TJ Yeldon, Eddie Lacy, Trent Richardson, and Mark Ingram II. Then you have Wisconsin at number 2, LSU at number 3, Miami at number 4, Texas at number 5, Oklahoma at number 6, Georgia at number 7, Auburn at number 8, Oregon at number 9, and Oklahoma State at number 10. Now, this next one, I I could argue with it, but they have wide receiver U right now as the USC Trojans. They put Jordan Addison as part of the list. And he joined Drake London, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Michael Pittman Jr., and Juju Smith-Schuster among recent receivers that are in the NFL. Now, if Addison hadn't left him and Larry Fitzgerald at Pitt, that would have made them higher on the list. But for now, it's USC 1, Ohio State 2, LSU 3, Alabama 4, Oklahoma 5, Oklahoma State 6, Florida State 7, Florida 8, number 9, Notre Dame's number 10. Now, reason why Ohio State, I wonder if they'll be close to number 1, is because Ohio State's had 5 wide receivers drafted in the first 3 rounds since 2018, with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Boka back for 2023. Next year, they should have more that are going to be added. Tight end U is the Miami Hurricanes, and I can't argue with that, because they have been very dominant with the tight ends that they've had. They've had 15 tight ends drafted. They've had a future NFL tight end on their roster every year. 2007 year was the lone year they started, didn't go on to be drafted. Will Mallory, the last one, was one in the Colts. And before him, you had Jeremy Shockey, Greg Olsen, Bubba Franks, Jimmy Graham, and David Njoku. The rest of the top 10, Notre Dame number 2, Iowa number 3, Stanford number 4, Florida number 5, Missouri number 6, Wisconsin number 7, Oklahoma number 8, Michigan number 9, UCLA number 10. Offensive line, U is the Alabama Crimson Tide. They have had an offensive lineman first or second round every year since 2019. And they've seen 12 linemen drafted in rounds 1 or 2 during Nick Saban's entire tenure. The rest of the top 10 there is Ohio State number 2, Wisconsin number 3, Oklahoma number 4, Notre Dame number 5, Michigan number 6, USC number 7, Georgia number 8, Iowa number 9, and Florida number 10. Next up is the defensive line. And you have Alabama once again at number 1. They've had one defensive lineman drafted in the first 3 rounds every year since 2016. They've had 13 All-SEC selections on the D-line and 5 All-Americans. And their alums have had more NFL success than any other program. The rest of the top 10, you have Florida State at number 2, Ohio State number 3, Clemson number 4, Penn State number 5, Texas number 6, LSU number 7, USC number 8, Georgia number 9, Michigan at number 10. All righty. Should have Mr. Alves coming back in a second. Linebacker U is Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's had 6 linebackers drafted in the first round since 2021, which has helped them to have a relatively safe lead over Alabama for that title. Georgia's linebackers in the NFL to be far and away the most production next level, with the likes of Bo Weatherspoon, Thomas Davis, Justin Houston, and Roquan Smith being genuine stars. The rest of the top 10, Alabama's number 2, Ohio State's number 3, Penn State's number 4, USC's number 5, Oklahoma's number 6, Michigan's number 7, Clemson's number 8, Miami's number 9, and number 10 is Florida. And then we have LSU as defensive back university. been close between Ohio State and LSU for years with Alabama and Florida in the mix. But they had LSU takes a spot with his debut. He's 1-8. LSU defensive backs drafted since the team 2019 championship. I mean, we're going to see what happens. The rest of the top 10, Alabama number 2, Ohio State number 3, Florida number 4, Miami number 5, Florida State number 6, Georgia number 7, Texas number 8, USC number 9, and Virginia Tech number 10. Next up, we have Kicker U, which is the Florida State Seminoles. The rest of the top 10 are UCLA number 2, Iowa number 3, Utah number 4, Memphis number 5, Ohio State number 6, Florida number 7, Nebraska number 8, Auburn number 9, and Michigan number 10. And last but not least, we have Punter U, which is the Texas A&M Aggies. Number 2 is Tennessee, number 3 is Utah, number 4 is Michigan State, number 5 is Cal. Number 6 is Georgia Tech. Number 7 is Cincinnati. Number 8 is Georgia. Number 9 is Ohio State. And number 10 is Baylor. So, those are just all the different rankings they have. Welcome back, sir.
You talk about your computer woes, and it's almost like it spread.
So, I don't know if you're listening to what I was just talking about. I was talking about how the different positions and which schools right now are taking the moniker for which position you like. Right now they have USC as wide receiver U, even though Ohio State, that's a little, we're going to see how that goes. It's going to be a little tough. The reason why USC got it over Ohio State is because Jordan Addison transferred over there. So they took him away from Pitt. And Pitt was still number 9 just because of how Larry Fitzgerald had been when he was there. So, but no, I went through the entire starting at the quarterback to the running back, to the tight end, to the offensive line, the defensive line, the linebackers, the cornerbacks, the kickers, and the punters.
It'll be here before we know it for real.
Yes, sir. That's why I figured next week. I did see an article here where it talks about the different conferences so that we can kind of start making picks for those. I know that I was looking at for us, I'm thinking we should try to, instead of doing one show to try to talk about all the different conferences, I think we should split it up into two just because for the Power Five and see how that goes. And I believe I'm going to have some other people on with us so that way, even though you and me enjoy talking about it, we can have some others on. And then Tyler, who was on last week, I mentioned to him about how me and him made the picks last year and how you and me were talking about doing that. He said he'd like to join us.
Sure.
And he'll be the person who will tally up the scores and we'll see how it goes just because apparently my math isn't as good as his, and that was a little got a little rough last year, even though I pulled out the win. It was interesting, I'll put it like that.
Gotcha.
It was still worth it, but you were talking about the differences for just how the conferences were. In some ways. So I think we're going to see how it goes next week because I think we're going to have some more clarity on how everything is going down. I mean, even if the conferences aren't going to implode by next week, it's just seeing how it's going to make a difference for them.
Sure.
Because I think we're still kind of in the breaking news or newlywed phase for some of the Pac-12 schools leaving. I do know that Arizona State, and I think it was Utah, they all had special meetings as well. So, I mean, we're going to see how it goes, but in the end, money's going to talk. So we'll just have to play it by ear and see what happens for that.
Yeah. I mean, you never know until it's actually signed on the pen and paper.
Yeah, that and Northwestern, you got more people following lawsuits. And at the media day that the Big Ten just had, the football players did not show up, or the coach did, and the volleyball coach did not show up. So, I mean, it's not looking good. Because I've got a feeling it's going to be a lot nastier than it is.
Yep.
Because apparently, I just opened up the article about the volleyball coach who skipped. He's been there since 2015 and has an overall record of 88 and 113. That's doesn't sound very good to me.
No, no.
I mean, I'm like I said, I'm not the best with math, but when you're under 500 and the way it's looking, it just, it's not good. Oh, and I did see how they talked about for PJ Fleck, how last year they talked about for the Fleck Bank. Apparently, they had for media days for Minnesota, they had one player who's been there the longest. I guess he's been there 6 or 7 years because of how COVID was and him having injuries. And he was like, look, the reason they're saying this is because they didn't like how he does things, couldn't handle it. And obviously, they had to leave school for some reason.
Yep.
So they decided they would try to throw him under the bus like this. Whether it's true or not, it just, I can believe that. So I'm curious to see how that goes. But Northwestern, I see that they had another lawsuit that came out from a player that played there from 2005 to 2008. So, I mean, it's, I don't want to say curious, but it just, if you're getting a player from that far back who's willing to sue.
Yep.
Something's not right.
Yep, you're right. You're right. And it's going to, like you said, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
I'm waiting to see how many shoes drop. But, Bob, like we said last week, I'm a little worried about Northwestern.
Right.
I'm still going to be my Ohio State fan the entire time. And another time, don't worry, sir. I made sure while I was up in Ohio, I got two more Ohio State shirts, one polo shirt and one regular shirt. I know that makes you very happy, and you can hardly contain your excitement for that.
Smile on my face.
Yep, no, and I did do that surprise show last week, which I would have had you get on, but unfortunately you had other obligations, so... I mean, I wanted to make sure you could be involved like we always try to do here. So
appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, well, when I'm here in the shower, Ryan, it must mean it's almost time for me to go to bed. So just because I am looking at the clock. Is there anything that you could think of that we haven't talked about other than while you were gone? I did see that Brent Venable's wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. So thoughts and prayers go out to both of them. just because sports is important, but like we saw for Bronny and now for her, your health is more important.
Yep.
Just because sports is something we love, we appreciate, but it's not everything. Unfortunately, it won't last forever, and unless you're doing coaching the rest of your life, you're going to do other things and be popular in other sports, I guess, is the best way to put it. Is that fair?
Yep, very fair.
Okay. So, if we were going to try to find you outside of here, how would we do so, sir?
Hit me up on Twitter, The Sports Buffet. Simple as that. We don't try to make it complex.
Exactly. Oh, and I had a trivia thing I heard today you might appreciate.
Fire.
I talked to my boss today at my job, and he told me that he found out that his second cousin, June Carter Cash.
Okay.
Which very, I thought was pretty
very cool. Interesting. Wife of Johnny Cash.
Exactly. Exactly. So I thought that was something that was interesting. Can we, I just thought about this. Can we talk about one sport that's outside of college sports very quickly? Sure. Have you paid attention to the Women's World Cup?
Very little.
Okay. Well, for the first time since I think 2005, the U.S. women did not win their group. Right. And other than a shot going off the post, they barely avoided elimination against Portugal. I'm not sure they're going to repeat. I mean, the team this year, they don't feel like they have that edge, the killer instinct this year. Or as Kobe would say if he was alive, they don't feel like they have that Mamba mentality.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
I mean, Carly Lloyd called him out on it, and she's taking some heat for what she said, but just watching how they played, they don't seem like the same team that literally at times would, in the past few years, you would see when they would play, you'd wonder if they were going to knock every other opponent off because they were so physical and just like, we're going to score. We're going to score. You're going to try to stop us. It's not going to work. We're going to score.
Right.
And then we're going to stop you from scoring. I mean, I'm glad they made it to the round of 16. I'm just wondering how far they can go. I would love to see them repeat because on ESPN, I did a lineup on there to see if I would be able to be successful to win the Women's World Cup. I'm proud to tell you I did find the right set of women on the team who could do that. So I'm just hoping that they're able to do better and they're able to keep going just because Brazil in Marta's last World Cup, they did not make it out of the group stage.
Right.
Which that was surprising to me. So that's my little spiel about a different sport other than college sports, just because it's something that I've been watching a little bit. And it's just like, we got to see what happens. It's because the U.S. seemed like heavy favorites. And right now they don't seem like the team that's number one in the world, which is kind of scary. And like Bob said, if you found him on Twitter at the Sports Buffet, you would be able to find me on Twitter, Alan F. West, or you could find me at alan.west.46. You're not going to see me post very much, honestly, but I try to make sure that when I do post, I make a count or I send messages that are humorous from time to time, depending on the situation. All right, so Bob, is there anything you can think of that you want to maybe keep track of for next week?
Not really. I mean, it's going to be an interesting week, busy week. Always got to follow your paper, follow the internet, follow the sportscast on Twitter and all the other avenues to see what's really going on.
That's true. That's true, sir. Yeah, follow the sportscast one. And then also, tomorrow night we have the Jersey Boys coming on. So I know that Vic and Byron are going to do a great job. So, well, I think that about covers everything for the day. Thank you, sir. And I'm Alan. This is Bob. This has been the Top 25 Rundown. Have a great weekend, buddy.